Our speaker tonight, Brother Landon Rowell, Ramona, Oklahoma. Yeah, he's a minister of the Ramona Church of Christ in Ramona. He's a graduate of the Brown Trail School of Preaching. Brother Rowell, it's your time. Go ahead and talk to us. Make it plain about the real Jesus. Let us hear you.
I want to begin by thanking you, Brother Brooks, and all the hardworking brothers and sisters that make this work possible, and the church at Highland Heights, for allowing me the privilege to preach God's Word tonight on this program. The church in Ramona, Oklahoma here also sends their greetings as well as we pray for this great work that we're so thankful you guys are involved with and are putting on. And though I've only recently become aware of this work, I have already grown to greatly appreciate it and the wealth of biblical knowledge that it offers all of those with a sincere love for God's precious message. I'm thankful to be a part of this work and have been looking forward to this opportunity tonight to preach on the real Jesus of the Bible. Now, before we go any further, I'm thankful you encouraged everyone to have a way of taking notes and have their Bible ready, because this is very important and for two main reasons. One, I want you to be able to write down each verse that I mention, as there might be some, or there will be some, that I don't actually read out loud, and I want you to be able to go to those again and look through those and read those for yourself. Secondly, I don't want you taking my word for anything. I want you to scrutinize what I have said and verify that it is accurate according to the Bible. Now, with that said, let's go ahead and look at our lesson tonight on the real Jesus of the Bible. Not long after the Church of Christ, Matthew 16:18, the church that belongs to Christ, was started, as we read about in Acts chapter 2, God's creation, you and I, mankind, found itself, as we see in the book of Acts and other books of the Bible, contaminating the real Jesus. Whether it was the Jews that had become Christians, fighting to keep the law of Moses in for everyone, as we read about in Acts chapter 15, or the Gnostics that were trying to say all flesh is evil and therefore Jesus could not have been God and man, which of course the apostle of love demonstrates is incorrect. We see from the very beginning, it is almost, that the real Jesus begins to be distorted. And so this is nothing new that we find today. Now, whether we're talking about the ancient cases, as I just mentioned, or more modern cases, which we'll discuss in a bit, all of these have a common thread within them. They all come from a false notion that Jesus is just a Savior. What do I mean by that? Well, there are very few people in the world that believe in Jesus that do not consider him their Savior. In other words, when people believe in Jesus, they recognize very clearly and succinctly that he's their Savior. But there are far less that believe in Jesus that also believe him to really be their Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when we look at the scriptures, Jesus is referred to as Lord in one form or another over 388 times in the New Testament. Now, that's significant because that word Lord actually means master. Now, when we talk about Jesus being our Lord and Savior, what we are really saying is that he is our master of salvation. Again, this is significant because though people often say Jesus is our Lord and Savior, they don't always understand what this actually means. And so, the title of our lesson this evening, The Real Jesus. This evening, we're going to spend some time examining God's Word concerning the real Jesus of the Bible as our Lord. Now, as I just said, Jesus as Lord means he is Jesus, our master. But what reality does that play in your life and in my life? Well, Lord Jesus, or Jesus as our master, reveals to us that the real Jesus has all authority. That's the first point I want us, and the first thing I want us to think about this evening. The real Jesus of the Bible has all authority. He is the very source of authority. Jesus himself clearly declared this truth to those that were to take the gospel to every creature in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What exactly does this mean to say Jesus has all authority on heaven and in earth? Well, it means that Jesus is the beginning and the end, or the Alpha and the Omega of our faith. Right after the great chapter, that of Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter on faith, or the hall of faith, if you will, we read what the Hebrew writer wrote in chapter 12, 1 and 2. There we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking to Jesus, notice this, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Hebrew writer here is declaring that Jesus is the one that is the author or foundation of our faith, and the one that brings our faith to perfection. In other words, unblemished completion. It's Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, that has all authority over our salvation. If we want to be saved, it cannot be found in what uninspired men write. In other words, writings that are not of the Bible. Creeds, confessions of faith, or anything like this, those are uninspired men. Those are not God's holy word, given by him, breathed out by him. Jesus is all authority, is our salvation. If we want to be saved, we can't be reading these uninspired men and look for them in salvation also. If we want to be saved, it can't be found in our feelings. Let me say that again. If we want to be saved, it cannot be found in our feelings. I can't tell you how many times I have heard people say, "If the Bible says it, I'll do it." And then they read what the Bible actually says about what Jesus actually teaches. And they say, "Well, I see what it says. I recognize what it's saying, but that's not what happened to me." Or, "But I know I'm saved. I feel saved, even though I'm reading something different." Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot say it any clearer. The real Jesus has all authority over our salvation, not men, not our feelings. Peter would rightly proclaim this truth in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 when he said, "And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There's no one else. There's no other name. There's no one that can save us. Only the real Jesus. The Pope doesn't have this authority. Joel Osteen does not have this authority. Your preacher doesn't have this authority. You don't have this authority. I don't have this authority. only Jesus and no one else. So then, what does it mean to say the real Jesus has all authority over our salvation? Well, the reality of it is, it means the real Jesus is the Word. And to be specific, the Word in the flesh. Let's go ahead and read a very well-known passage of Scripture that I'm sure most of you that are listening tonight have heard multiple times. Let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. John very uniquely begins his recording of the gospel account with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Over the years, countless sermons, Bible classes, and articles have been written concerning this passage and the powerful message it conveys. However, though they actually, more often than not, come to the truth, and the truth is revealed and stated, the actual meaning is often lost. What do I mean by that? Well, most will read John chapter 1 and verse 1 and understand that it is saying Jesus in the flesh is the Word of God lived out perfectly. But they don't understand or don't present what that actually means. What is being said here is that Jesus, being the Word, means he is our example of salvation. Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, who gave up perfection and comfort of heaven to come down to this earth and be born of woman in the flesh as you and I. Philippians 2, 6, and 7, Galatians 4, and verse 4, lived a perfect life in accordance to the Father's will. Now, there's the key part. He lived a perfect life as the Word in flesh, according to the Father's will. Jesus, the Word, lived in beautiful harmony, perfect harmony, with what God said to do. The real Jesus, in other words, of the Bible, didn't follow the writings of uninspired men. In Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 9, Jesus, we read of this. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, that's Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, uninspired writings, but eat with defiled hands? And he, that's Jesus, said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me as teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. You see, the real Jesus of the Bible, he didn't follow the writings of uninspired men. The real Jesus of the Bible didn't even follow his own feelings when they contradicted God's word and what was necessary in the will of the Father. In Matthew 26:39, we read this, and going a little farther, he, that's Jesus, fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus said, I don't want to go through this, emotionally speaking. He was tormented by that. We even see it again in that same chapter, verse 42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. You see, the real Jesus of the Bible didn't even follow his own feelings when they contradicted the Word, when they contradicted the Father's will. The real Jesus of the Bible is the Word, because he lived out as our example of what it means to obey authority unto salvation. That is why, as the Word, who has all authority, remember, we must follow him. Because obedience to him as the Word is where salvation is found. Remember the words of Jesus in John 12:48? The one who rejects me and does not receive my words as a judge, the word that I have spoken, will judge him on the last day. So Jesus, our Lord, our Master, has all authority on heaven and in heaven and on earth, and Jesus, our Lord, is the Word, which combined means the real Jesus of the Bible, is the one we must listen to and obey if we want to be saved. Now, these two impenetrable facts mean, thirdly, and our last point, the real Jesus has all the control. No mere man has control over our salvation today. In other words, if preacher tells you you can be saved without actually obeying Jesus, then he is wrong. Now, you might be asking yourself, has there ever been a preacher or a person that calls themselves a Christian say this, that someone can be saved without actually obeying Jesus? Well, the answer is yes and no. No, there's probably no one who has said, listen, you can be saved without obeying Jesus. But the answer is yes in how they tell people they are to be saved. Let me illustrate this point. I was told of a true story where a young man was in a car accident. When the paramedics got to the scene, they found the man had been thrown from his vehicle and wasn't likely to live. One of the paramedics, a religious man, asked the young man if Jesus was his Savior. The young man, though very damaged, was able to get out. I've never really been a church-going guy. The paramedic explained this situation to this man, the deadly situation he was in, and asked if he wanted to go to heaven. The young man, of course, said yes, so the paramedic asked, do you have faith that Jesus is your Savior, and are you willing to accept him as your Savior? The young man replied yes, and the paramedic told the young man that he was saved. That young man later died on the way to the hospital, believing he had been saved. Now, I have no doubt many of you today have heard similar stories. Maybe you haven't experienced a similar situation yourself. There is no doubt there is a very real emotional pull to this. So why did I bring up this particular illustration when talking about preachers or others telling people they can be saved without actually obeying the real Jesus? The reason why that's the case is because what this paramedic did and what he actually said, and no doubt even believed, is a very common teaching concerning salvation, and yet it does not actually obey Jesus and what he teaches. Let me explain what I mean. First, there is only one way we can believe and have faith in Jesus, and that is through actually studying God's Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul wrote this, inspired by God. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So the only way we get faith, the only way it comes to our life, is through God's Word, through studying His Word. Secondly, we must believe and have faith before we can even be saved. No one can actually be saved without pleasing God. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. Notice that again. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, thirdly, Jesus said there was much more involved with being saved than simply having faith in him and accepting him as Savior. Not only was study required and faith required, but we also see Jesus plainly told his disciples that repentance was required to walk with him. In Luke 24:45-47, we read this, "Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Jesus also said, confession of him is required. In Matthew 10:32-33, we read this, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus even said baptism, immersion in water, in other words, is required, not an option to be saved. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe and therefore won't be baptized will be condemned." Now, I could continue on, but this should be sufficient enough for each of us to see what that illustration points out, that the real Jesus of the Bible is the one who's actually in control. And far too many people get caught up in the Jesus that so many talk about, who is Savior but not Lord. It doesn't matter what uninspired men, those that weren't inspired to write the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, like me say, it only matters what Jesus says through his word. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't point out something that some might be thinking right now. As 2 Timothy 3:16-17 points out, all of God's word is inspired, literally breathed out by God, not just the red letter section. Yes, we are to listen to the words Jesus specifically said, but all of God's word is what Jesus teaches, through with the Father, Son, and Spirit, who are perfectly united in all. That means Peter, Paul, Luke, John, and all the other inspired writers wrote from Christ, and thus we must follow. So the real Jesus of the Bible has all authority on earth and in heaven, is the Word, which demonstrated obedience, and he is in complete control of our salvation. In other words, Jesus isn't just our Savior, he is our Lord or Master. If we don't obey our Master's word, we cannot be saved. And if we are not saved, we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven and spend the eternity that lies after this life with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. It is vital that all of us understand who the real Jesus is, that he is our Savior and he is our Lord. The real Jesus of the Bible is the one whom we must listen to and obey, and no one else, no uninspired man, not even our own emotions. So what exactly do we read concerning salvation? Well, we find in Isaiah 59:1-2 that sin separates us from our God. "Behold, the Lord's hand is now shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities or your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." When we reach the age of accountability and we are accountable for those things we do that transgress God's law when we sin. There is separation between us and God that can only be closed by Christ and His gospel. That means, again, as we talked about, we have to go to His Word to learn to have trust. Romans 10:17. Remember, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We have to go to the source of where we read about and find the real Jesus. And we have to put our trust in Him, as we saw in Hebrews 11:6, because without trusting Him, it's impossible to please Him. And that means we have to give ourselves to God. Acts 17, verse 30 says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent." To be a disciple of Christ, we have to give up our old selves. We have to bury and do away and put to death that old person of sin and look towards the cross of Christ, to look and live for the real Jesus. And that means acknowledging Him or confessing Him before men, as we read earlier, Matthew 10, 32. We have to be willing, Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess Him before everyone, to let everyone know He is our Savior. And we have to then obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, we read a powerful passage on this: "Inflaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." But the question is, what is the gospel? What is it? Paul would declare in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. And then Paul would say in Romans 6, 3 through 5, how we obey that historical event, when he said, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, let us understand that the real Jesus is the master of our salvation, and that we must listen to Him if we want to be saved and spend eternity in heaven.